to him we will sing. In his great mercy he has given us life. Now we can be called the children of God. Great is the love that the Father has given us. For he has delivered us. For he has delivered us. Children of God, sing your song and rejoice for the love that he has given us all. Oh, oh, children of God, by the blood of this song, we have been redeemed and we can be called children of God.
Dieu a tant aimé le monde qu'il a donné son Fils unique, afin que quiconque croit en lui ne périsse point, mais qu'il ait la vie éternelle. Jean 3, 16.
Добрый день, господа. Ибо так возлюбил Бог мир, что дал Сына Единородного, чтобы каждый верующий в Него Не погиб, но имел жизнь вечную. I would like to add two words for all of you to say. Слава Богу. Repeat. Слава Богу. You can all speak Russian. That means glory to God. Thank you.
Porque tanto amó Dios al mundo que dio a su Hijo unigénito, para que todo el que cree en él no se pierda, sino que tenga vida eterna. Juan 3:16.
Denn also hat Gott die Welt geliebt, dass er seinen eingeborenen Sohn gab, auf dass alle, die in ihn glauben, nicht verloren werden, sondern das Wegleben haben.
For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever should believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Today is World Communion Sunday. Let us stand together as we enter into worship with the God who loves the whole world and indeed has the whole world in his hand. Please stand as we sing our call to worship. To God be the glory. Welcome to the house of the Lord. It is the Lord's house, and it is his welcome that's extended to you, especially to those who are visiting here for the first time. If you are a visitor, we encourage you to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today so that we can get to know you better. If you have any prayer needs, there are prayer cards in the back of the pew in front of you right next to the visitor cards. You can fill out those, and we do have an active prayer team that will lift up those needs or praises to the Lord. Two things we want to make sure you're aware of. Tonight we do have church council meeting at 4 o'clock. If you're on the church council, please plan to be there. And then immediately following our meal tonight at about 5:30, 5:45, we'll have our First Baptist Church roundtable meeting. If you're a new member, you may be wondering, what is the roundtable? Well, first of all, you should know it's not round. It's actually in a big square. But it's our business meeting. It's where we discuss the important matters of the church, our vision, our future, our finances, our ministry, and our programs. So please plan to be a part of that. That's open to all of our members, and we encourage you to be there. And then, of course, we want to reiterate what was announced last Sunday, that this coming Sunday is homecoming. So for homecoming, things will be very different. Obviously, we will not have Sunday school. We know many of you will be preparing and bringing dishes. But we will start our worship service early at 10:30, not at 11. So make sure you take note of that and to plan to be there a little bit early. And then, of course, the only real reason you have homecoming is to eat, right? So we'll have the meal to follow, and there should be a lot of good fellowship in between all of that. In the vestibule, again, there are these postcards already printed out for you. If you have relatives or know of former members of this congregation who have moved away, who have gone to other places and joined other churches, take one of these or a couple of these and place a stamp on it and maybe write a personal invitation. Make sure you put their address on it and put it in the mail so that they will know that we are having homecoming next Sunday. You can also, if you see these people on a regular basis, just hand it to them and invite them to come and be a part of our homecoming celebration. Let's continue to worship the Lord.
Our opening scripture comes from Genesis 1, 26 through 31. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in it, its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Father, your children gather in amazement this day, recognizing that the same God that created this world, that shaped and molded every piece with his own hands, and then created each one of us in your image, is the same God that gathers with us today. We are in amazement in your presence. But it does not bring us to silence. It brings us to praise and to thanksgiving, to confession, to healing. Father God, we thank you for being here. And we lift up this worship to you, asking that it be pleasing to you, recognizing that who we celebrate and who we gather for is the creator of this world. Father God, we just thank you for your presence. We lift this prayer in your Son Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand for our hymn of praise, "You Are My All in All."
See you as a
Please be seated.
I'd like to invite all the children to join me here at the end for our children's time. See, I don't have any magic tricks
for you today or anything. But instead, I want us to talk together, hey guys, come on, about this table over here. Because if you look over here, this is, what do we call this table? Who knows? Starts with C, communion table. And it says right here, that's the first thing I noticed, every Sunday, you can see this, it says, this do in remembrance of me. That's something that Jesus said the last time he shared a meal with all of his disciples. They were sharing the Passover meal, which is a Jewish celebration of freedom and God's deliverance from the people out of Egypt. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and he took the cup and he said that these things are supposed to remind us that he gave his life for us, that he was going to sacrifice his life. And he said, hey, every time you drink from the cup, we put the grape juice in there and we all celebrate that Jesus died for us. He said, every time you drink from it, every time you come together in church or in your homes to have this meal, remember me. So you're supposed to remember Jesus when we have the Lord's Supper or communion. Same way, he had a big thing of bread. It wouldn't have looked quite like this, but he broke it and he said, this is like my body given for you, because Jesus gave his life for us. And then a little bit later in the service, we're going to break this bread, we're going to pour this cup, and we're going to, everybody do this. Remember. We're going to remember who? We're going to remember Jesus. We're going to remember what? We're going to remember that he died for us. And we're going to remember why. Because like the scripture you heard in all those different languages, God loved what? The whole world. God so loved the world that he sent his only son, his only born son, that whoever, does that include you? Whoever? How about those people? Does that include them? How about people even outside of the doors of this church? Does that include them? Whoever believes in him. They don't have to die forever. They get to live forever where? In God's kingdom, in heaven. That's pretty awesome. That's what we call the gospel, and that just means good news. So today when we have communion, I want you to remember who and why. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for Jesus, and thank you for the Lord's Supper that helps us remember what he did for us. It helps us remember that you love us, and it helps us remember that you love the whole world. Help us to never forget. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. 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 All right, you can go sit down.
Please stand and sing our offertory hymn, Have Faith in God. It's in your hymnal number 405. Please stand.
Please be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are a people gathered here today in awe of your generosity. Lord, you have given us homes and families. You have given us a country where we can worship you without fear of persecution. Lord, you have given us the peace that comes with knowing that your Son died to buy our eternity. And Lord, as we come to the place in the service where we return to you some small part of all of these things that you've given to us, we pray, Lord, that you would lay your almighty hand on these offerings, that you would send them out into a world that so desperately needs you, that you would help your church, our church, to be a force for your love in our community and in our world. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Godly love is all-powerful. The love keeps no records of wrongs, and that in your love you remember our sins no more. That if we confess, you are faithful and just and forgive, and even cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We believe the words of the gospel, the message we've heard several times this morning, that you love the world, that you sent your Son, and that for those who believe, eternal life. For that we give you thanks in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Did you hear again the words of Scripture from the 103rd Psalm, beginning in verse 11? For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commands. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, all you angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his host, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. God's word for God's people. Amen.
Thank you.
this passage of Scripture that we have been sharing in is one that we have heard and heard and heard our entire lives. We see it on billboards going down the highway and on bumper stickers. Wild men with rainbow-colored afros waving the sign in the end zone at football games and at NASCAR. It's everywhere we look, to the point where, in some ways, for some of us, perhaps it's become like white noise. You hear something so often, it can become just a blur and a fuzz of information. And so today we ask you to hear the words of John 3:16 as though for the first time, as though you've never heard this message before. And I invite you to read it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Consider just for a moment how radical that message really is. It is a counter-narrative. In the time that this was proclaimed, the narrative, at least for the Hebrew people, was that you are the chosen ones, that you are the elite. There was this exceptionalism in Jewish life, that they were better than everybody else, and that they were special, and that no one else, no other peoples or races were as special as they were, because God had picked them and he loved them, and that everything that God did, he did for them. And then comes a message like this. In the same way, to those Roman readers and Greek readers, the narrative was the identical message that you were the elite, you were the appointed empire, that you were the rulers and masters of the world, and that everything is for you because you're the best of the best. And then comes this narrative. It says, God loves whom? The world. Who gets eternal life? Whosoever. Anyone. Everyone who believes. Whosoever can believe and have life. That is a direct slap in the face of those narratives. That is a direct contention with them. It is at odds with what people were believing about themselves and about their nations and about their worlds and about their gods. He so loved the world. What's the opposite of that? It does not say, for he so loved Rome. It does not say, for he so loved Jerusalem. And in our context today, it does not say, for he so loved American or Christian nations, or that he so loved black people, or because he so loved white people, or that he so loved people who were raised in moral, middle-class America or homes. He didn't say, for God so loved good people from the right kind of neighborhoods and the right kind of families. He did not say, for God so loved people who look like this or talk like that or from this nation or that nation. He didn't even say, for God so loved Christians. He said, for God so loved the world. The world is a wide, wonderful, strange, and even wicked place. You look around the world and you will see some things that will cause you to be ill at ease and uncomfortable. And it is hard for us sometimes to wrap our brains around the idea that God would love those dark and dangerous corners of the world. But again, he did not say, for God so loved the good parts of the world, because that would be impossible to do. There are no good corners of the world. God so loved the world means that God loves not only the Christian parts of it, but God loves the Hindus. God loves the Muslims. God even loves the terrorist. Can you believe that? God loves those who have no faith at all. The atheist, the doubter, the agnostic, the one who's just wrestling with it all. God loves people in the church and people outside of the church. Now, all of that perhaps to you sounds like a no-brainer. But often our actions reveal that we haven't quite yet bought into the whosoever gospel. It's hard because, like the people of the first century, we too are receiving narratives, aren't we? We too are hearing messages, whether it be from our favorite political group or from the media or even from social media. Every time we turn on some sort of screen or open some sort of magazine or even just drive down the highway, we are presented with a narrative of division. A narrative that consistently tells us this group is good, that group is bad. People who like this are right. People who look like this are wrong. That people who think this way are righteous, that people who think this way are evil. That these corners are safe if they look like this, but if they look like this, they're dangerous. They're evil. Facebook alone is responsible with flooding our minds with these subtle messages that are so deceptive. You see, these little memes, these little posts that we so often see, they're not written by Uncle Joe. They're not written by Neighbor Sam. These are written by very intelligent, crafty people who understand marketing and psychology and how the human mind works. And what they like to do is to present a forceful, guttural reaction message that you can believe. Something that maybe that's very, very true, even. And you say, yeah, I don't like that. Or yeah, I see that. That's wrong. But then suddenly they weave in a quiet, subversive little message about division and who's in and who's out and who's right and who's wrong. And often these messages, if we really thought about, okay, what is this saying to me? We would begin to see, this is telling me who to hate. This is telling me who to hate and how to hate them. It's interesting. I serve on the missions council for CBF North Carolina, and recently they did a survey of a number of churches throughout North Carolina to ask them questions. I think they called you, Janie, and ask them questions about what your church, what you like, how do you describe your church? And one of the questions was something to the effect of, if you were telling someone who's not your friend, someone who doesn't know anything about your church, if you were trying to describe your church to them, how would you do it? It was interesting. They asked pastors, they asked associate pastors, and they asked lay people. Of course, the pastors, the big word was worship. And CBF was a big word. Lay people, it was community. And the guy who did this study, he threw these answers up in what's called a thought cloud. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these. I had never heard of this. But it takes all the words in the survey responses, and the more often it was said, the bigger the word shows up in the thought cloud. So you can imagine it, like one for pastors. The word worship was really big, and CBF was really big. Doctrine was smaller, community was a little smaller, administration, that was a little teeny tiny word for pastors. But then the guy did something amazing. He reworked the dynamics of this engine so that it would not exclude little words. See, it's designed to throw out words like thee and but and he changed it so even the littlest words would show up. And then he flashed on the screen for us an image of this new dynamic of all the pastors, associate pastors, and lay people. Describe your church to someone who's never been there before. And you know what? The word that was giant, bigger than all the words, right there in the middle, was the word not. Not. As in, not Southern Baptist, or not fundamentalist, or not Catholic. He threw out several analogies of how that word was used. But essentially what it reveals is we define ourselves as, hey, we're not them. We're not those people. We're not like that. I find that narrative to be at odds with John 3:16 that says we are them. We are the world. We are the object of his eye. And we are all in the same boat. And the minute we start separating peoples out, we've gone from Pentecost all the way back down to Babel. And that's not the gospel. Today I brought a loaf of bread. I baked this last night, and in it I tried to see how many different types of grain I could work into this to make it into dough and to make it into bread. There are, I forgot how many, just whatever I had laying around. There's at least 6 or 7 different types of grain in this bread. It's a multitude, a multi-grain bread. But you know what's beautiful about it is once it's formed, once it's created, and once it's baked, you can never tell one grain from another. You can never separate out one grain from the rest. In the same way, when Christ says, "This is my body given for you," and when John's gospel tells us he so loved the world, it is revealing to us that God's love is multi-grain. It is for all these different types of people of different colors, race, religion, and his love is not bound to any of our expectations or preconceived notions. And his love is such that you couldn't separate out and say, he loves this one this way, and that one that way, and that one over there, he loves not at all. His love is all inclusive. As we observe the Lord's Supper today, the invitation to us is to ask God to see the world as he sees it. To not classify people as others, but to see them as what they really are, his children. All people, his children. And that the gospel is not just for us, but for whosoever would believe. And ask God to soften your heart for that one that you have avoided, that one that you have marginalized, that one that you've tried to forget about, the one that you've tried to keep away and keep out. And ask God to soften your heart for them to the point where you will see them as he sees them, his beloved. Would you pray with me? Lord, help us. Help us to see the world the way you see it. To celebrate your love and not try to claim it for ourselves. Help us to have a bigger picture of your love. And help us to stop defining ourselves as what we're not. And define ourselves for what you've made us, your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we share in the Lord's Supper some words of instruction, we're going to take the meal today by intinction, which means you're going to come forward and receive a piece of bread from me, and then Laura will be holding the cup. You'll just dip your bread into the cup and then eat it as you return to your seat in prayer. We're going to do it just like we did with deacon ordination. We're going to invite the choir to come down first and come around this way and then return to the choir loft.
And then this section, if you'll come down, cross the front, and go around to the back, then the middle section, and then finally the Amen Corner, you get to go last. As we share, and again, the invitation is for you to use this as a time of prayer and challenge, and allow God to continue to speak to your heart. Let's pray together a blessing of thanksgiving for the meal. As the ancient ones prayed, O God, we say, praise to you, King of the universe. You are the one who, as the psalm said, are over all and have formed us all. We give you thanks for this meal. Through it, may we remember that you gave your life and shed your blood that all may believe. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.
The scriptures tell us that on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and giving thanks, he said, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat." In the same way, he took the cup. And blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my own blood. As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me."
pray with me? As you go from this place, receive this blessing. May the Lord, who looks upon the world with love and compassion, stir your heart to do the same, that all that you meet, you would love, and all that you see, you would say, "Yes, you are my neighbor." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The scriptures tell us that after they finished the meal, they sang a hymn and they departed. Let's stand together as we sing our final song.